Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
G'day guys, welcome back to Beers and Breakevens. We're reviewing the big major buy round, the first major buy round, round 13, and previewing round 14, a massive week in Supercoach. Some of us made big jumps, some of us didn't. Suck shit to those of you that didn't. Timmy, how are we doing, mate?
I'm good, mate. I love last week. Firstly, Origin Day, baby.
How good?
Yes!
Secondly, I love how all last week we said those at Supercoach headquarters, they won't... The system won't be prepared for the incoming new 13-person ruling around loopholes and all that. And we literally got through the whole week without any issues. We went, commended them, great work. It unlocked. I'd gone up like 100 places or so, and I had a pretty, what I thought was a pretty good week. I was like, gee, that's a bit grim, but all right, so be it. We were here Monday morning for the Bloke in a Bar podcast. Mid-bloke show, I'd seen that players outside the 13 had counted towards total scores, and I've just had like a mini heart attack going, yes, there's more greening coming. So they almost got there.
And shout out to them, they got on it so fucking quickly.
Within about an hour max.
Which was unreal. We had a bit of confusion. I am no stranger to making a mistake, but I thought I'd gone up 9,000 spots and was celebrating that. Then all that happened. I thought, beautiful, I might go up 11,000. Then I went up 7,000. I'm not sure what happened there, but not stoked.
I told, for context, Guru after the Bloke in a Bar show, mid-afternoon when it finished up, and Guru initially said to me, I'm top 10,000. I'm like, yes. And then when I told him it happened, I go, mate, like, you scored better than me. Like, you'll be going up even further. And he looked and he'd gone to outside the 10,000.
10,508. Gone.
I'm like, how? It's not huge. It's not mathematically possible. And he goes, I may have misread it.
It's quite possible, and may have posted in 3 to 4 group chats of misreading it. So that was good. Speaking of, I'm now 10,508. I scored 1,041. How did you go this week, mate?
9,053. Sorry, 9,000. That'd be a handy score, wouldn't it?
That'd be heaps.
953. I went up to 2,630th overall. I was looking at my score at the end of the week going, I had 13 players, voided much damage. My lowest score was Samuel Afaina with about 49. I was looking at some of the other scores about teams going over 1,000 and like a fair few of them. Like, how the hell did I finish this far behind? And it ended up just being Mr. Marju was the big outlier of the weekend. I know with him probably went over 1,000 because there were very few dud scores outside of Valence Tafade. I missed like Corey Horsbrough, Jermaine Saka, who were nothing monumental, but they were on that 100 precipice. So just missed a couple of those. So, mate, it's still a good week. But, yeah, you happy to get done by you when you do that well.
Well, that's literally the difference. I had Horsbrough. I had Marcia.
Yeah. Boom.
So that's exactly it. So Big Wing in Supercoach. We have obviously sponsored once again, guys, by Blue Wealth Property, our major sponsor, some of our best buddies over there at Blue Wealth Property. Now, they've got a couple of events coming your way over the next couple of weeks. The 8th of June, buying a property with your super. That's at Sydney Olympic Park, 6:30 p.m. You can obviously be there in Sydney or join via webinar. This one, though, the 14th of June, it's a Wednesday. It is not an Origin night, so don't stress. Wealth Through Property, live in the Sutherland Shire, and I can officially announce that there will be a celebrity guest appear. Is that how you wanted me to announce you there, as a celebrity guest? Is that how you, is it? Yeah, celebrity guest. Yes, you're going to be there. How good?
Oh, we've got Ben Pomeroy and Luke Cavell coming to Sutherland Shire. Pomeroy's also going to rock up in his three-quarter short legs.
The torpedoes, watch out.
Torpedoes. I'll be going along, mate. Yep. So it's a Blue Wealth event. I went to the same event last year, and a bunch of different things you'll learn from it, but it's a really great night for getting into the property market. If you're thinking about doing it, you want to learn about the best ways to do it, where to invest, all that. Even if you are already in the market and you're looking at investing back into the market, using your equity, how you do that, where you should. I learned so much of it last year, so I'll be in attendance and, really looking forward to it.
Yeah, that'll be a cracker. 29th of June, Wealth Through Property, live in Sydney CBD. 5th of July, Wealth Through Property. That's in the Northern Beaches. We might have to get Thomas and Eduardo down to that one, down at DY. And then Wealth Through Property in Borkham Hills, 19th of July. So you've got a few weeks to get ready for that one. But heaps of events coming up. And also, guys, Blue Wealth Property, they've got their own podcast as well. So if you are looking for a little bit of background information as far as what Blue Wealth do and how they operate, it's called The Clever Investor. The Clever Investor. So make sure you go and check that out. I've been told by Mort that before we attend our next event, to make sure we listen to a few episodes of this podcast, because he said that, you know, him and Tone, they explain it well with this podcast. Idiot proof. It's perfect.
I thought we explained it well. And then
I know we explained it well.
And then you have Mort and Tone, who explain it incredibly well. And then you've got a podcast of professionals dedicated to the art of putting things across on a podcast. Like, I'd reference us, but that'd be a lie. So, actual professionals.
Well, there's actually rumors going around that we might actually be a guest on the on the podcast over the next couple of
Apple
months.
Apple Charts, so top 10, look out.
Yeah, I need to find something to talk about on it. Because I battle as an investor, and I'm sure as fuck not clever.
Just talk about one of your properties.
Yeah, one of them. Yeah. Watch out. So, guys, Blue Wealth Property, our major sponsor. As you remember from the start of the year, Tony very generously put up $5,000 as a cash prize for the winner of our group. So unless you're winning Supercoach overall. Have you done that?
I've done it, mate.
One Supercoach overall?
Oh.
Second. No, sorry, I forgot. Unless you're doing that. Fuck you.
Top 1,000?
No. Last year, yes. Got a water bottle to show for it. It gets a pounding. So, yeah, Tony put up $5,000 for you guys. $5,500 if you're an NRL club member as well. So, Blue Wealth, they're supporting Supercoach. They're supporting you guys. So, make sure you get around them. We'll have the links in the YouTube bio for you to click on there to join the Blue Wealth team. We'll also have a link to the Clever Investor, the podcast, if you'd like to have a listen there. Bloke in a Bar as well, always by our side, the official business of Supercoach, of sport, of me and Timmy, everything.
If you're not ripping the scab off a couple of these bad boys for Origin tonight, game two, game three, and the rest of the season, rocks in your head.
What are you doing?
Yeah, I don't
what
know.
Are you doing? And also, guys, I'm wearing today the We Get It jumper. This is from Donny Sports. So if you go to Instagram, Donny Sports, champion fellow, we spent Magic Round with Donny. I think he's one of the most underrated content creators in the game. So we spent Magic Round with Donny. It was unreal. He does a bit of work with the champions up at the Bloody Brilliant Beers Boys. But if you go to his Instagram, DonnySports_, you can go and check out his merch. We Get It. There's a New South Wales and a Queensland one. And I actually think the coolest part of this is the back. Can they see that, Timmy?
They can.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Unreal. Need a microphone to talk. Go and check those out. Donnie sent one for me, one down for Timmy. I've lost Timmy's, which is standard form of me. Go check it out. Donnie Sports. You can hit the link there or send me a message and I can send you in the right direction. Some unreal kit there for State of Origin tonight. Donny is a Queenslander, so don't hold that against him, or do. Make up your own mind there.
Do.
But he's one of the kings of the Caxton up there, just quietly.
He's a good man, the Don.
Very good man. Likes a drink, too.
He does.
He certainly does. So, yeah, make sure you go check it out. These are unreal. Comfy as all hell. I'm loving it. Mates, should we get into this week's Supercoach? Already read out our scores. We'll go through and have a look at the top scorer in our comp, which I have not got up yet. I'm sure it'll be someone very, very worthy, though, as I get that up now. So, in our group, some pretty impressive numbers to go through, first of all. Four of the top 10 are in our Beers and Break-Evens group at the moment. But even more impressive, of the top 100, 47 of them
are
in Beers and Break-Evens. So we must be doing something right, or we're putting up a lot of money.
Yeah.
Which I think it's probably the latter. But I'm happy to take the first.
Could be the money, but...
could be a combo. We'll see. But yeah, 47 of the top 100 are in the Beers and Break-Evens group. So it is without a doubt the hottest league in the land. And if you do win that, you've done something seriously special. So leading that at the moment is Tyson. He's in first place. So he's the short price favourite to take home $5,000, potentially $5,500. A guy named Tyson, which team do you reckon he'd go for?
Knights,
yeah, that's a very good shout. I was going to say Knights or Raiders, Tyson.
Knights for sure. He's from Cessnock, got to be.
He's got to be for sure. He plays in the back row. He can handle centre, but he plays in the back row and he beats the shit out of everyone. Yeah, he's better in the third half than the first and the second two, Tyson. all right, let's have a look at the round score this week. And the team that wins it, which is a shocking omen as we head into Origin, is the Brisbane Yobbos, who won it this week. 1,243. Pretty impressive stuff there. So if you are the coach of the Brisbane Yobbos, please send an email to beersandbreakevens@gmail.com. You chase me up, I give you the hot tip, I will not be chasing you up.
Yeah.
So send the email, we'll get it all sorted. Send a football and a hat out your way. We haven't got our football back from Nico Hines yet after Kempe donated it. So Nico, if you're watching, come find me.
I like to think Nico cradles it when he goes to sleep.
If Nico can come on and have impact tonight, you can keep it, buddy. It's all yours.
Yeah. If you not, can keep it. I want it first thing Thursday morning.
We're going to come find you. We're coming for you. Yeah, so make sure you send your email, mate, and we'll get that out to you very, very soon. All right, Timmy, should we rip and tear into some team lists?
Let's get stuck in.
All right, so no Thursday night game this week. Obviously, at the back of Origin, that would have all been a little bit too much. We are one game short this week. We've got the Parramatta Eels, the Manly Seagulls, and the Newcastle Knights of Tyson fame, who will not be featuring this weekend. They all have a bye. Three teams that played last week, three teams that were very prominent last week, and three teams that are going to be prominent throughout this episode as well. So it's a bit of a white knuckle this weekend. Hold on and see how we go.
It is, yeah. We say it time and time again. Some weeks it's a lot more relevant than others, and it's staying fluid with your trades, because with all the Origin backups, we'll know a fair bit more tomorrow, obviously, with how the boys get through Origin, but there'll be players pulled at the last minute, players benched, all sorts of things. So just be ready.
Yeah, just be ready for it. Friday night, we got the Tigers taking on the Canberra Raiders. Real heavyweight clash here. For the Tigers, not much to touch on, but I will just point out jersey 22, Talon De Silva, Timmy. Very, very talented fullback coming through their grades. I know that Buller's really set it alight the last few weeks, but De Silva, I think he could be a genuine superstar. So one to watch. Fullback, yeah. Very, very talented. So one to keep an eye on there. And I think over the next year or two, we'll be talking about him. He will be a gun cheapie at some point. For the Canberra Raiders, Hudson Young has been named. Seb Chris has been named as well. A bit of mystery around his injury this week. But he has been named. So hopefully he comes through. Corey Hills was still on the edge. And Jared Croker's a bit tired, is he?
You're going to take a pot shot at my boy, Jared Croker.
I am. I need him.
There's two blokes that you're not allowed to say a bad word about the NRL. One's Jared Croker, the other one's Jake Trbojevic. I mean, look, I can't wait, because I'm going to go down to the nation's capital for a big 300th against the Wars next week.
I'm actually
week.
Thinking about making the journey myself.
Come down.
The
pilgrimage. It'll be so good.
Yeah, I'm considering it. Are you going to go down Friday?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we'll go to Mooseheads on the Friday night, into the Raids Saturday.
I might have the big fella, Heavenly Hands Hebner, with me.
Oh, yes. We can wear our headgears.
Loves the nation's capital.
Yeah. Belter weekend. I employ all Beers and Breakings listeners till we get down to the cap. Oh, we're not talking about that. We sold out by, probably already sold out.
Yeah, we might have to organise a little Beers and Breakevens meetup somewhere in the nation's capital for
at half time on the field.
Croaks, yes. They'd let you on for sure.
But yes, real pain in the ass for the Supercoach side.
Huge pain in the ass. Yeah, and that. I would probably care less if this wasn't the situation.
Yeah.
I can't believe how desperately I need Jared Croker this week. Yeah, we'll talk about him soon. Super Saturday. So there's one game on Friday night, so we are going to be a little bit starved of footy. Saturday, we've got 3 p.m. coming to you from Auckland, the Wars and the Dolphins. Great little story here. Mitchie Barnett back in. It was some scary rumors floating around Mitch Barnett the last few weeks, but good to see him back in. Wade Egan also returns. For the Finns, they haven't named any of their origin players as it stands right now. So Hamiso, Tommy Gilbert, they'll all be rested, which I think is a good shout by the Dolphins.
Two-day backup, two blokes that, I mean, Hammer will play 80 minutes. Tommy Gilbert could easily play 80 minutes as well, being on the edge. You can probably add... the Dolphins are on the Saturday. So, I mean, just quickly going back to any Hudson Young owners out there. Yeah, it's a long 2 days. Hudson Young, I would be very surprised if he backed up.
Yeah.
Particularly if he does play, 50-plus minutes for the Blues. And if he does back up, it'd have to be in limited minutes.
Yeah, and you would have to think he plays at least 50. And, I mean, I also think he's one HIA away anywhere in that team from playing 80.
Being 80, yeah. So I'd be surprised if Hudson backed up. And, yeah, the Finns have... Surprising amount of, I've actually got DeRussi's ownership stats for the week. So, fair few people still holding on to Hamiso. So, again, in a week where, geez, we need numbers, not good.
Not good. Titans take on the Bunnies. I believe that one's 5:30 p.m. from Seabus. For the Titans, Kinney's at fullback, which is very, very exciting. I think this kid's got so much ability, it's not even funny. AKP returns into the side. Jaden Campbell at 6. Fifita and Tino, they have been named. We'll see whether they play or not. We probably should have said this off the top, but all of our predictions of who's going to play, who's going to not play, all vibe, guys. You're going to have to do your own research this week.
Yeah, provided, and let's just assume players get through Origin okay. Fifita, Tino, the Titans need them to play because they need wins. So yep. I can see them backing up, but again, it has to be limited minutes, 50, 60, obviously very match pendant, but yeah.
So you are going to have to sort of take control of your own devices to some extent. Good to see Sammy Verrills on the bench as well. I think the Titans are a much better team with Sammy Verrills in there. For the Bunnies, no shock here, but no Latrell. There was rumours that he could have been named, but he obviously hasn't. Richie Kennar comes in to replace Tane Milne, which is an interesting one. Campbell Graham has been named in the centres. Arrow and Murray names. We'll see how that one plays out. And really interesting guy here. Keon Kolomontangi returns. I've had a few messages about him this week. A few people keen on buying him, which I don't know. I don't mind it, but it's an interesting one.
I don't like it that much. I think he's been an okay Supercoach player the last couple of years, despite eye test wise being a gun. He's such good football. He's so destructive, but I worry for a few reasons. Firstly, he's just coming. He's one game back from injury.
Yep.
And secondly, if we're talking particularly overall players and buy coverage, he won't play round 16, which is fine. I think we're pretty well covered for round 16 anyway. Check your sides, but I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. But the second major buy in the Bunnies play being round 19, he's every chance to play Origin, isn't he? If he comes in and has a few belters of games, the Blues lose a game or two, he's very close to it.
Potentially. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Have a look at his numbers from the start of the year. Some pretty impressive stuff.
The early base was huge.
Early base is massive. And he scored 2 tries in the first 4 weeks, but the games that he didn't score tries, he scored 72 and 62.
Yeah. So if he can keep that up, if he keeps up that base, definitely a buy. I don't know if he's more
of a... his first 6 weeks in the 80-minute games, he didn't go below 58.
Yeah.
I can understand the appeal, but I get a vibe he's not as good as those numbers.
I agree.
Yeah.
I expect that base to regress, particularly coming back from injury.
Has a bye round 16.
Yeah. Back from injury, Origin potential. I'm just not that keen.
Back your gut feeling on him. It's probably a no from us, though.
The quick plus side of that is that the right edge this year getting heaps more ball.
Yes.
So, which probably directly correlates with the increased base.
Yep. Which is fair. Yep. all right, let's move to the late game, potentially game of the week here, depending on who backs up and whatnot. But the Sharkies taking on the Broncos. For the Sharks, Sivatalakai back in. I am watching him very, very closely, even closer than I was watching him when he was playing for the Mascot Jets in the under-14s. Mm. I'm very excited about Sifa. I'm seriously considering bringing him in. I think the Sharkies, mate, are a good team to target for the next few, probably 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah, so playing round 16 and 19, the next two major buy-ins, they have the buy round 17, another one of them awkward little bye weeks. But great draw, buy-wise, strength of schedule pretty good, a red-hot attacking side. I really like them. I'm probably more eyeing Mulitalo, but you could run the combo.
Yeah, I would advise you take your four Sharkies outside backs and pick one or two of them to have over the next few weeks. Yeah. Even if you pick one now, maybe one after round 17 post-buy,
yeah,
I reckon they're going to be worth having.
So Ronnie's got a break in for 123, 703K, Broncos and Storm to come, and then Doggies round 16 by Dragons, Tigers. So I think I'm happy to wait until round 16 before investing, and then potentially even wait till round 18 when they all their buys will be done.
Mm. And I mean, yeah, if you are looking to buy this week, Broncos Storm, not ideal, but there's probably not a better time to play those teams.
For sure. And who knows? The Broncos could rest Payne Haas, Pat Carrigan. They're both going to play big minutes. They could rest everyone.
It would make sense if they rested everyone, yeah, realistically. Yeah. For the Bronx, as we said, everyone has been named, but it's a big wait and see on who plays that game. Well, obviously,
Payne Haas, who's obviously a big one in terms of backing up, had that at training the other day, and he had that little ankle concern or whatever it was. So then he's going to go play big minutes in Origin. The 3-day turnaround from that, the fact that they won that game last week against the Warriors, where they were underdogs with all their players out, gives them a bit of breathing space, yep, that they probably can. So
if I had five players backing up from Origin, you said, where's the last place you want to go play footy? Mm. Shark Park would be right at the very top, yep, of it. I would just go, no, nah, Saturday night at Shark Park against that pack. No, thanks.
Yeah, he'll be fresh as.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. All right, let's move to Sunday Arvo footy. We've got the Roosters taking on the Canterbury Bulldogs. For the Roosters, Palga comes in on the wings, played for the Tigers over the last few years, has been absolutely annihilating it in reserve grade. So one to keep an eye on there. Joey Manu comes in and plays six. We've been talking about the last few weeks, but Satili Tupanua, interestingly enough, named in the 13, Nat Butcher on the edge. Mm. I said all last year that I thought Butcher was going to overtake Tupanua on that edge. I think the injury saved him from a hard conversation there, and I personally reckon Nat Butcher might stay on the edge now.
I think Nat's fine on the edge, but I don't want to beat the old drum, but I think Egan Butcher's more of a middle. So I would have thought, I don't know, I still don't mind Satili on the edge. I understand Nat on the edge because he's a gun there.
Yeah.
Then you've also got Angus Crichton on the bench. Like, he's got a few games under the belt. He's got to be getting close to his starting position again, doesn't he?
I'd love to know what he's thinking. Is it like and I get it. They're not winning the middle. They're getting bullied through the middle. Is he just trying to stack there just to, I don't know. It's a weird little situation, isn't it?
I'm sick of trying to, yeah, make any sense of what's going on at the Roosters, because I've backed them all year and said they'll bounce back. They're too good. Their roster's too good, and they're not doing it. So I'm just like, it's hard to put any faith in them.
And it's hard to predict what's going to happen. And that's what has me nervous about Daniel Tupou being on the extended. I'm assuming he takes Corey Allen's spot straight away. But like I do still worry about this team. Do you think Billy Smith is 100% safe?
I
want to say yes, but wouldn't it just be so fucking typical if Billy Smith drops out of this side somehow?
Billy's not even one that I'd considered dropping out of my 17 this week, yeah, in a week where I need numbers. But yeah, potentially. Look, I thought Billy was really good in his first two games back from injury. He had an absolute stinker the week after against the Drags. But so he's 0-3 since he's been back, I believe. Surely he's not the one that gets dropped.
I don't think so, but who I will knows? Say, like, before he came on and played his first game, which the first two he brained, I said then that his defense in reserve grade hasn't been fantastic, yeah, and you saw that against the Dragons. Yeah. So
don't do that to me.
That's my only concern there. Canterbury.
No, you're up.
Canterbury Bulldogs. Got the big fella, Jaden Ockhambore, in the 2RF. We were discussing before where we were in life when he ran over Cam Smith twice in 40 minutes. What a wild turn of events to see him come from winger he didn't even do the transition of becoming a centre into a second rower. He's just done straight to the 2RF out of nowhere. To his credit, though, he has been pretty good, hasn't he?
He's been good in the back row. I didn't have a lot of time for him as a winger, if I'm being honest, but hard to fault what he's done in the back row, and he's obviously won over Cameron Seraldo to get a starting spot, and the way I see it, Jacob Preston's probably locked down one edge. William Kikau's not back for a fair while, so he's got an opportunity to win it. Whether or not he's good enough to do so, look, the sample size of him in the back row is way too small to make any real judgment, but the opportunity's there, isn't it?
He's also 2RF / CTW that plays round 16 and 19 before Kikau comes back. It's appealing.
This is harsh on Jermaine Asako, but it's one where it's like Jermaine Asako, the one that got away. Wouldn't it just be like in a month's time after the next two major buy-ins got all the next 2 months, and Ockenbaugh's 650K averaging 80 across that period, and we're just like, Ockenbaugh, the one that got away.
The one that got away. Yeah, and he quite possibly could be. I mean, you have a look at his games when he has played decent minutes, 72 minutes in round 5, 44 in base. Had 80 minutes in round 7, but I believe that was in the outside backs, 26 in base. But then the last few weeks, he's gone 50 to 55 minutes. He scored 30 base in both those games. He scored a try in both of them, to be fair. Yeah. But, I mean, look at the size of him. He'll score tries,
yeah.
So he's, with that buy draw, he's
negative 11 break even. I wouldn't go near him because I don't trust job security at all. There's no way I'm going to steer someone into a Jaden Ockenbaugh buy. But I get it.
I'll give you the hot tip. To me, who's going to look more and more appealing as this weekend gets closer and closer? Ockenbaugh.
Bloke with the
ox. 100%. That is a conversation I did not think I would be having this century, let alone this year. All right. Also, Harrison Edwards, he drops back to the bench. Jersey 17. TPJ and Josh Adokar on the extended bench. So we'll see how that plays out for the Canterbury Bulldogs.
Yeah, I don't think... Could be wrong, but I don't see TPJ playing big minutes for the Blues. I think he plays probably about 30 minutes max, potentially. So I think he'd be every chance to back up on the Sunday.
Yep, fair shout. Cowboys v. the Storm. For the Cows, they've got Valeme on the wing again, Leibert in the centres, Tommy Dearden comes back into the sixth, Nanai on the bench. Their extended bench, this might be the greatest extended bench of all time. Val, Cotter, Taulagi, and Taumalolo. Unfortunately, this game is on Sunday. Dare I say, if Val, Cotter, Lolo, if any of them are still in the extended squad at, 4 p.m. on Saturday, I'd probably back them in to play that game.
The Cows have been going this season and the last couple of weeks, that extended best, they might have all just been dropped. It might be God a clean knows. Out.
Yeah.
Especially
Val Holmes, if you still own Val Holmes, which I do. I'm waiting to sell him, but I'm waiting for the right moment to sell him. And the things that makes it tough is that if you hold... I'll tell you how my weekend plays out. Mm. My weekend plays out that I wait until Sunday afternoon to see if Val is named. If he's not, I maybe look to a young Penrith centre who I might bring back into my team.
Jesse McLean.
Isaac Hunger. Hello. So that's a tough thing. If you wait for Val and you want to trade him at that point, you can only trade him to a Cowboy, a Storm, a Panther, or a Dragon. So you're probably looking at your Isaac Tungos, your Lomaxes.
Yeah.
These sort of guys. Jack Bird was playing. That'd be interesting. Yeah. But
firstly on Val, he's one of the most solid players this week. No, you need that number for your side, and he's a gun. So he'll miss next week and then round 16. So he's certainly a sell, but I'll be waiting until next week if he held through last week's bye. I'd be very confident that provided he gets through Origin unscathed, he plays. The Cowboys need him so badly. They do get the maximum turnaround playing on the Sunday. So if he's good to go, he'll play.
Yep, and for the Storm, no real changes here. Grant and Munster have been named. I think this is a very similar situation. I think that if these two are sweet, I think both of them play.
I need Grant to play.
Oh, I think Melbourne need Grant to play. Who's hooker if it's not him? You're looking at a combo of Wishart and Garlic.
Yeah, even if in limited minutes.
Yeah.
Maximum turnaround. Harry Grant. That's the other thing. Grant might only play 40, 45 minutes for the Maroons.
I'd be shocked if Grant doesn't play this game. And I'd be surprised if money doesn't either. I think the other thing to keep in mind with these Origin players, I think a lot of them take a lot of pride in backing up from Origin. And I think it's, well, from what I've gathered, it's something that both coaches stress to them. You go back to Clubland, you do your job. So especially after game one, game three, when they're a little bit more knocked around, it's harder. Yeah. Game one, though, I reckon most of them will back up.
Yep.
Last game of the week, got the Penny Panthers taking on the St. George Illawarra Dragons. For the Panthers, look, the Origin boys have been named. On the extended is Isaac Tungo and Spencer Lienu. So if those two are available, I believe they will come straight into this side. A few question marks over Nath Cleary, this toothache or whatever it is that's going on this week. Bro, I've heard so many mixed reports over how bad this thing is, how not bad it is. He will play, he won't play. I've got no idea. Penrith obviously doing very well in the ladder. But as we've spoken about off mic, I think Nath is well aware that this could be a Dally M season.
Yeah.
So, for fuck knows.
He will want to back up.
Yeah.
Like, probably more than anyone in the game. Like, you know, we'd sort of say that it makes sense to give him a rest. You're killing it. You're what, equal ladder leaders or whatever it is. So, you don't really need him to back up. But, I said, you also know he wants that Dally M so bad. And rightly so. Why wouldn't he? So opportunity to do that. I saw an article from the telly or someone, it might have been during the week, saying that he does need to get molars or whatever the hell it is removed from his mouth, and they will wait until they have the buy in round 20, I believe.
They got a buy in round 19. That's the only thing that worries me a little bit, is that he doesn't have a buy in that period, so I think he will be rested at some point. If it is this week, to maybe get his teeth sorted, get his Barry Beath sorted. Who knows? Yeah,
the chat said that he would get the surgery to get him removed or whatever it is post Origin 3 around then. In which case, well, if he's just going to play through it, he'll play through it. But yeah, I mean, the fact, and he's also the most, is the most obvious captaincy choice this week in the last game of the round. Oof. I'll throw on. You go.
No, I was just going to say, from a very selfish point of view, for my Supercoach draft site with Nath Cleary, I hope he gets his teeth sorted after Origin. Then he has a little 2-week break, so he's fresh to play.
And you sold him in...
Yeah, I sold him in Classic, yeah. So I'm really hoping he doesn't play this weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other one there...
I might do a Mr. Burns and go and find him and get the shit out of him and hit the frog and toad.
So the other one to throw at you, Isaac Tungo, if he does return, Tyrone Peach is keeping his seat warm. Not a week we need Tyrone to sit.
Yes, but I also think that if Isaac Tungo comes in, Peachy drops out if Toto and Critter both back up as well.
He'd need everyone to,
yeah,
including Luai and Cleary, because
I also don't have Peachy, so I'm hoping this is the perfect storm that fucks you on Sunday afternoon.
Don't get
all
me,
of you.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I think he will be there somewhere, because with all those players backing up, if they do all back up, Peachy, even on the bench, a bloke that can cover centre, wing, lock, halves, he's perfect. So yeah. I think he plays, but the perfect storm for you, would be that, you know, he goes back to the bench and plays limited minutes, but it only takes one of those players not to back up, and he's probably in that side.
Yeah, for sure. And it will be interesting. He's obviously got Tom Jenkins on the extended as well. Mm. I reckon if Brian Toto drops out, I reckon Jenkins would jump in there.
Yeah.
So my perfect storm is Isaac Tungo comes in for Peachy. Peachy goes to 14. Tom Jenkins starts on the wing. Brian Toto. You've got Toto, don't you?
Yeah.
I'd love that. And Nathan Cleary gets a little spell.
Toto and Cleary could absolutely be the ones to sit out of this. 100%
they could, but. Yeah. It
and
could be very
Peachy goes in the process, so anywho, we'll deal with that Sunday evening.
It would be the great equaliser if that did happen. Yeah. It still would, no, actually, it wouldn't be an equaliser in any way, shape, or form, but it'd keep me in the fight.
It'd be huge.
It'd be very huge. And then the selling Cleary might not be a bad play.
To be fair, I do have numbers this week, so I think I'd need three players not to back up from Origin to be potentially short. So I'm looking all right.
Yeah, right.
But could happen.
I'd probably need three Jared Croakers to play this weekend to have 17. So I'm in a bit of curry, but that's fine. So that is the Penny Panthers. Dragons, Benny Hunt has been named, obviously. I'd be shocked if Ben Hunt doesn't play this game. No Jack Bird ruled out again, which is, once again, if chaos does happen and Val Holmes or any of these guys are ruled out, Bird would have been a lovely CTW or 2RF to go to.
Yeah, in terms of that late game. So I'm just trying to in the handful of birdie owners out there as well. So
yeah,
just again, it doesn't have to be a lot, but far out. So he's owned by 6% of the top 100 ranked overall Supercoach teams, 11% of the top 500, 10% of the top 1,000. So
yeah, that'd hurt.
It's a fair few.
Yeah, and he's been a good pickup. He's been a great pickup for those people too. So, all right, now our deep dive this week is, I guess it's more of a conversation for us to have rather than a deep dive. I think a lot of people, and like I'm a classic example, did well last week, but I found myself with 14, maybe 15 after trades this week, players. That's if everything goes to plan with Fifita, with Harry Grant, all these guys.
You got how many after two trades?
About 15. I'm pretty short. Yeah. Well, that's depending on what happens with Val. Actually, let's do a count. You got your Mal Meninga's ready? So, Harry Grant, Sonny Luke, Jack DeBellin, Tohu Harris, Fifita, Horsburgh, Hosking, Nico Hines, Joey Manu. Then I've got Billy Smith, Kiraz, Buller. And at the moment, I've traded it. I was fucking around with it this morning, so I've got Sivitalika I traded in at the moment. So how many is that?
13.
Oh, sorry. Then I've got one more spot that I will trade in. So I'm going to have 14 at the moment. That's they all back up. But I'll tell you the way that I'm looking at it, and I know this is easy to say this week, and you might disagree, which I'm interested to hear your take on it anyway. I think with this round 14, if you did well last week, to me that probably means you're well set up for round 16 as well. And probably round 19. I've got a heap of Parramatta boys who aren't playing this week. I think I'm looking at this period as a six-week gap instead of a one-week gap.
Definitely, yeah. I think everyone is pretty well set up for round 16. Round 19 is probably the one that you say, yeah, if you had that shot this week, then round 19 you're probably looking all right. Still a long way away, though, but...
Well, the reality of it is the three teams that have a bye this weekend are three of the eight teams that are playing in round 16, Parramatta, Knights and Manly.
Yeah.
So if there's those players you don't have, and there's certain guys from those teams that I will 100% sell before the next period, like your Phoenix Crosslands, these sort of guys. But I just think that, yes, you're round 14, I might give a little this week, but I think I will gain a lot on the other weeks, and it's not weeks that I want to be flushing trades.
All right, so I've got some good numbers for you from Mr. Adam DeRussy.
One of the greats.
One of the greats. So he's
Did they consider playing him in the back row instead of Dayden Ockenbaugh?
He could be in.
He could be in, right?
Yeah.
He'd kill it on the edge.
Yeah. He'd be sharp.
What position do you reckon DeRussy was? I reckon he's a hooker.
I was going to say a hooker as well.
He looks like a hooker.
Yeah.
Of the Sunday afternoon variety.
He'd have some cheek as well.
Well, fucking will and truly.
So... his data, two teams in the top 100, including the team coming second, have only 13 players this week. So that's obviously before trades. So even if they boosted, they're going to be short this week.
Yeah.
That's pre-restings. That's pre-restings, and this would probably include Valence Tafade owners and anyone else who's benched or whatever. So... what else has he got? So, on average, the top 100 teams have 16.4 players available. The top 10,000 teams is 16.6 players available. So, with two trades, I think I'm 17. I'm 17, but it's a strong 17. So, like, that's good. I don't have any duds in there, which is handy. But, so with two trades, that'd put them to 19 or 17, 18 and a half. But then there's restings, there's if you own Valence Tafade off the bench, any other players like that. In other words, even with one or two restings, there's going to be a lot of teams short this week.
100%.
That full article will be on scpublic.com.au within about an hour.
To be honest with you, if I go into this week with 14 and Nathan Cleary's rested, I'm okay. If he's not, then I'm very, very worried.
Oh, I knew it was going to be brutal, but that's something.
Yeah, it's rough. And that's where I sort of sit there and go, okay, do I maybe need to go a little pod captain this week and try and make up for
it?
You
got two boosts left, yeah?
I got one boost left, but I don't want to use one this week. I want to save it.
Two.
Because the other thing that I need to keep in mind is that, yes, I'm going to do well, I think, in round 16 and 19 because I've got these Parramatta boys already there, plus whoever I can add that I think will be a keeper towards the back end. But Parramatta don't play in the last week, so I've got to find a way to get rid of all these Parramatta boys before then too. So I'm not going to waste a boost this week. I'm gonna cop a little bit of an L this week and then come into the last, 10 weeks of the season or whatever with my 20 trades and one boost.
Gee, it's an intriguing week.
So intriguing, yeah. And I don't think the damage will be as bad as what some are expecting, personally. Yeah.
There will be opportunity for big rises
yep.
for sides that do have a quality 17. But in terms of being short, there'll be a lot of, like, people aren't going to back up from Origin. Let's put it that way. There'll be concussions. There'll be injuries. There'll be blokes who just need a rest. So teams are going to be short, and you won't be in it alone, but big opportunities for Green.
Yeah. I just look at it and go, I had a good round 13. I know I'm going to have a good round 16 and round 19 if I have to wear a bang average round 14. I'm sort of happy to do
that. And it's the classic we speak about often, Guru, of you don't tear your side apart for one round.
Yeah.
Especially when everyone's in the same boat.
Yeah. So I think I'll be – and you know what? On last weekend, I sat there really happy with my score, seeing all the big scores on social media, and obviously you never see the low scores anywhere.
Yeah.
That'll be me next week. I'll just keep the head down, be quiet, and we'll be back up for the weeks after that. Yeah. So, but it's an interesting one. I just think it is worth noting with these teams that have the bye that they are going to be super relevant over the next few weeks, in particular your Parramatta, and then your Knights and Manly do play in round 16. So, you know, for me, with Kalen Ponga, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm actually thinking I might hold him for round 16 now.
Yeah, I'd be holding Ponga if I owned.
If Queensland win tonight, which they won't, I'll be definitely holding Ponga, I think.
The result is going to make a lot of Supercoach decisions.
Yes, 100% it is, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. And that's if they lose, I think Ponga plays game two. I think it's as simple as that.
There's a really good chance Ponga plays round game two, yeah, if they lose. Yeah. So
could potentially play regardless.
Yeah.
But
I will just say that one team that I think is really worth keeping an eye on over the next few weeks is the Sharkies, as we said before. But I love that. Round 16 they play the Doggies, round 19 they play the Tigers.
Mm.
That'll probably be a Tiger side without Appy as well. I know they've got the bye in round 17, but I don't think you're going to stack your team with fucking eight Sharkies. You're only going to have two, three if you've got three if you've got Nico. So there's a couple of backs. I know he's expensive, but Britton Nicara has really caught my attention.
Yeah.
He's one I'm seriously considering.
Yeah, really keen on. I think I'm going to probably wait until round 16 for the majority of my Sharks. I might go early on, say, one of them. Regarding that round 17... I think because we were so focused on the first buy-in, we invest in particularly Parramatta players, but Para players, Manly players, Newcastle players. Round 17, the three teams on the buy, the Bulldogs, the Sharks, the Tigers, who all play round 16 and 19, they all came off the buy in round 13. So I'd be surprised if people really owned many of those guys already. So we're not going to be stat flushed with them. Our numbers for 16 will be all right. So I don't envision round 17 being as anywhere near as tricky as what this week is going to be.
I think round 17 will be a walk in the park. I don't know if Buller will still be in my team by then, realistically. I think he'll be out of most teams by then, surely.
He could easily... it'll all be performance-based.
Yeah.
He could easily be a round 16 chop.
Yeah.
So he plays round 16 and then you flip him there.
Yeah.
If he's killing it, you can hold round 19, but... two gun fullback slots. I can see myself holding till 16 and see it.
Yeah. It is just worth noting, obviously, in round 17 with Bulldogs on the bye, you will be without Franklin Pello. So plan accordingly, Timmy.
It's so good. In a week where I was like, oh, I need every one of my players named, like this being yesterday afternoon, team this Tuesday, I'm like, except Franklin Pello, because we're all most just going to get a free VC loophole crack. I'm like, if I end up with, like, say, 18 players, I'm like, I don't want to drop a gun starting 17 player to get Franklin 7. So when he wasn't named, I'm like, okay. I'd prefer potentially playing short than having him screw a potential free VC loophole. So
back that. Any more chat on this round, mate?
Good, mate.
Okay. Now, stats deep dive this week. We normally take a couple of players and go through their numbers and whatnot. We thought we'd do something a little bit different today. And when we talk State of Origin, there's only one year I ever want to talk about. 2005. You want to take us away?
Yeah, arguably the greatest Origin form. Arguably.
Yeah, if you're arguing against it, you're an idiot.
Don't ever speak to me.
Yeah. Your name is probably Matthew Johns.
Yeah. the greatest Origin performance of all time, State of Origin, Game 2, 2005, New South Wales Blues, Andrew Johns, the 8th. So a few years ago, I launched SC Playbook the year that, about a month before COVID hit and the NRL stopped for the first time since World War II. Brilliant timing. I thought, geez, for someone dedicated to super coach content, this is a real spanner in the works. What sort of content can I put together in the meantime? So I whipped together some historic games, classic games, and obviously individual performances and how they would have gone supercoach-wise. So Joey Johns was one of the ones that I went back and put an article together for. His stats for that game, 3 goals, 9 runs, 2 line breaks, a line break assist, 2 try assists, 3 tackle breaks, 11 tackles, forced dropout, a 40-20, 3 missed tackles, an error. So an incredibly well-rounded performance. I'll be honest, not as many as I was anticipating.
Can I have a guess?
You can.
I want to say around the 121 mark.
107. Yeah. So unbelievable performance. I was hoping for a little bit higher, but 107 points. Who do you reckon would have been the second highest scorer in that game?
I would say, I want to say Minicello.
Anthony Minicello, 2 tries, 19 runs. A line break, 11 tackle breaks, couple of offloads, 104 points.
Yeah, right. I don't reckon Danny Medeiros would have been too far behind them either.
I don't have Danny, but yes, Danny would have been right because he would have had a try assist or two as well in there probably.
He had a try too, that ball to Joey
through. The try, yeah, oh, that's it.
That is one of my favourite passes of all time. That one and that ball that Cooper Cronk threw Slater in the 12 grand final. Those two of my favourite passes of all time. Yeah, the way that Joey came off his right and threw it back between the fucking ruck. Yeah. That was incredible.
That's freakish.
It's wild. To do that in the Origin Arena, and we all know the story about Joey that year, where he came from, and you know he played hard in any games of football. It's worth noting also, we spoke about it on the live stream the other day, 05, Joey, his team came last. He played 16 games. He polled 31 Daly M points.
Yeah.
Fucking unbelievable. Thurston got 32. His team went to the grand final.
Yeah, that's so absurd.
It's crazy. Like it defies belief completely. It's wild to think if Joey would have played one more game of football, he would have won the Dally M that year. And then imagine if he had a Dally M medal with a wooden spoon in the same year. It's only been done once before, Terry Lamb in the 80s when he was playing for Magpies, I think it was. But to come last in the modern era and do that.
Wow.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I don't think it will ever go close to that.
No. And no one in that many games too, unheard of.
Oh, I've got, I did a stack of those, and a lot of them around NRL games, and like, you know, Joey Johns against the Raiders in Canberra went ham one day, Terry Campese against the Panthers, I believe it was one day, and some big, big scores in excess of 200 plus, so we might touch on them a few times throughout the year.
There's one Mal Meninga had against the Chooks one day, where I think he scored 5, he kicked 8. Chipping over the top. He was just taking the piss.
Ooh, might have to crunch the numbers for that one.
Yeah, very, very, very entertaining one. I think it's up on YouTube if you want to go and have a look at it. But yeah, geez. Going back through history and looking at Supercoach scores, some of those games have been unbelievable.
Yeah, I've got about 7 or 8. There's a Brett Camorley masterclass in there as well.
Insane. Far out. Geez, I know Joey was the star of the show that night, but fuck, Minnie had a game.
He's enormous.
Is that his? I think it was his second Origin series, the 05. I think he debuted 04, 03. Freak Anthony Minicello. Isn't it funny? Like, you had Joey as the best player in the world at that point. Injuries completely fucked him before that, but after that. And Anthony Minicello, that was the, like, he won the Golden Boot that year. Then the injuries hit again. It's two guys that if they would have played their entire career, like, Joey's already considered the best ever.
Yeah.
But Mini, where he could have got to.
Yeah.
Like, he wouldn't have had those injuries. I don't know when Slater becomes the Australian fullback.
He had back issues like his entire career, Minnie, hey?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, well, it was from 05 onwards. 05 onwards, he won the Golden Boot, then it just went back.
Back went.
And it just all went to shit. It was insane. I enjoyed that so much more than what I thought I would. All right. Sit V starts.
And Origin kicks off in 20 minutes.
Sit V starts a bit fucked for me, if I'm being completely honest with you. I've sort of spoken about what my team looks like. I don't really have an option of sit, be, start. What's doing with your team?
Well, I suppose, mate, if I've got my 17 this week, I'll be very happy. let's say I can sit one player in my entire lineup this week. Let's say in a perfect world where I've got 18. Look, I can see myself running out with 17 players this week, and it's good. Like,
it's good. I'm aware it's good. You're saying it like it's a negative.
Yeah, yeah. Probably Billy Smith, I would sit, but even like Doggies match up Sunday afternoon.
I was looking at Billy Smith as a captain option.
Oh God, yeah, probably Billy Smith.
I think Sid V Start is what it is this week.
Oh, if you've got a decision to make, Sid V Start.
Yeah. Oh mate, if you've got decisions to make, fuck you.
The good conversation will be the one coming up. Oh, later, captains.
Captains, yeah, we'll get to that soon, man. Yep. Some of your questions very quickly. The first one comes from Booze Tiger. Great name, better question. What to do with Latrell Mitchell? A problem we don't have to deal with, a problem we didn't have to deal with last year, and it cost us unbelievably. Latrell, what's doing here? I don't know.
Absolutely gutted from a Blues perspective. So gutted.
Let's not talk about it.
Supercoach perspective.
Oh, it's a Christmas come early.
I did not want to see him run out against the Titans and Dragons the next 2 weeks as a non-owner. Frightening. I think you have to sell. That he did say, he came up today yesterday saying it was a very minor little calf twinge, so he may play next week against the Dragons, but he also could easily miss that game. And then he'll miss round 16, he'll miss round 19 to Origin, and then misses round 20. There are some soft, soft games in between, but look, he could easily miss the next 3 weeks. Best case, he plays one of the next 3 weeks. He's at 813K with a break even of 149. I think you've got to sell.
Yeah, I think he's a sell as well. And also that South Sydney are in a position where they don't have to push him.
Not at all.
You got Blake Taffer, took you to a grand final.
Yeah. Yeah.
You'll be okay.
Yeah.
Be good if if you're a Latrell owner and if South keep losing. I mean, that's as much as it's not panic stations, it's still two losses in a row for South Sydney, but I still don't think they're going to risk Latrell.
They have no need to. They know that they need Latrell when the whips are cracking the back end of the season. He needs to be fit and right to go.
Yeah. This one comes from Benny Ritchie. Is Matto to Nikora a good trade? Isn't Ryan Madison an interesting one? If you haven't already sold him, he's out for a couple of weeks. He does play those two buys. It could be a great pod by then, but can you afford just to hold on to Deadwood for now?
He's out for at least another 2 to 3 weeks, isn't he?
I think so.
I think you've got to chop him. And Nikora. Perfect. Yep. We spoke about it a few weeks ago, but his base this year has really increased. We know he's got the attacking upside. His combination with Nico is fantastic. If Nico misses, Nico missing 16 and 19 probably to Origin, hopefully, because it means he'll have played well tonight. Braden Trindle comes in. He's got a great combination with him as well. So, yeah, I think that's a good trade.
Next one's a very interesting one. Comes from Corey Cozza. Says, thoughts on Kiraz? Now, I know a lot of people are looking at Kiraz this week. I think you might have mentioned him earlier in the week. Maybe it was a conversation I had with someone else. But anyway, I've still got Kiraz. I've held him for the entire time, in a shock to everyone and myself when I realised I still had him. To be honest with you, though, the last 3 weeks, he scored a try last week. And he got 49. The week before that, he had 45 in base, which was fantastic. But the week before that, he had 27. So he's now had 3 games back. He's coming off a bye, fresh. Do we see Kiraz get back to his normal self? Or if I didn't have him, I don't know if I'd be hunting him as heavily as what other people are at the moment.
I'm pretty keen on him. I think there are times where we can overthink it a little bit. I haven't owned Jacob Kiraz this season, and watching him early on games when he based 40 plus 5 games on the trot. And on top of the base, there's the tackle breaks and the offloads and all of this. And it was a hard watch. I got away with it somehow, but I just think it's overthinking it. People are looking at the numbers the last 3 weeks. I think he came back a little bit too early and he looked underdone. He's now had 3 games back. He's come off the bye. He'll be fresher and ready to go. Mate, this is a bloke who was close to a must-have early on in the season. He's 486K. That is so cheap, and plays round 16 and 19. Put it this way, even if you buy him and you're a bit hesitant about his scores, you don't even have to play him in your 17. Obviously, you would this week, but I think people not trading him in are maybe overthinking it a touch. Like,
fair shout.
Like, if he was at 600 or 650K, you'd be like, all right, he has to score pretty well to match that value, but he doesn't have to do much to hit 486K value-wise.
Yeah, fair shout.
Just, I think the key is don't expect him to necessarily go back to the highs of earlier in the season immediately, but yeah, I'm keen.
It's going to be an interesting one to watch. I do hope it's just he did come back too early and whatnot. But yeah, if I wouldn't be buying him if I didn't have him at the moment. Wow. I think I'd want to see a little bit more before I would get on.
Okay. He's got a break-even of 66. So you don't have to go this week by any means. The game against the Roosters that God knows what the Roosters will throw up, but you would think backs against the wall they deliver something, but who knows. So you don't have to go this week.
I would definitely be waiting until round 16 to buy him for that buy, see where he's at. You cop the actual buy the next week that he's got off, but then you'll have him for round 19 and moving forward, hopefully.
Yep.
So, yeah, an interesting one there. Back your gut in there. I'd probably back Tim in over me. one that I'm pretty confident we'll both agree on is from Kahu. DWZ as a pod. I feel like this is chasing last week's points. What are your thoughts?
Jordan Kahu, long-time listener of the Beers and Breakheads podcast.
Safe to assume so, yes.
Yeah, I don't think so. I saw a stat during the week. I think that was his first Supercoach ton since 2016. That has not been verified, but he's never been a Supercoach player.
To be fair, in round 8, he got 99.
Yeah, against Melbourne, Damey Park.
With two tries and 40 points in evading stats. So,
yeah.
Has to do a lot.
Yeah, so... Well, last 4 years averages 42, 53, 40, 36. I think it's chasing last week's points. If you did get on him last week for the early buy coverage at a good price and got that ton, congrats to you. The Supercoach Spy was really keen on him. He didn't pull the trigger on him, but he was very close to buying him. But I do think you're chasing last week's points.
Yeah. All right, here's our random question of the week. Jay Sunders, 16, pineapple on pizza. He's in the firm no category. I am all for it. I will add pineapple to just about every pizza I can.
I'm in the no pineapple on pizza category. Mm. It's not a strong opinion. If there's pineapple on it, I'll eat it. But if I've got a choice, it's a no-go.
I will add pineapple to a burger, to a pizza. I think it's very underrated.
Yeah, right. Pineapple man.
Mm. You go to like a Portuguese chicken shop. Get me that pine garlo, thank you. What about on a burger?
Nah.
You're a child. Fucking child. All right, Reece Amos. Is it still a good time to get Isako and Buller? Now, someone messaged me the other day and said, oh, Buller, I'm going to buy him this week. And I thought, fuck, you've missed the boat by a country mile. Checked his break even. Mm. He's a cheapie all over again.
Neg 13 break, even 452K, 124 in his rolling average for a couple of weeks, plays 16 and 19. I think he's a good buy.
Isn't it wild? Like, I've had him for a few weeks and my thinking would be now, fuck, I've missed the boat. But, I mean, I think you just can't compare it to other people. Mm. You just have to look at your situation and what you can get now. Yes, it could have been better, but it's still a good buy, realistically.
Yeah, so... The Supercoach website has his break even at negative 26. They do fluctuate a little bit across different websites, but negative 26. He's projected, if he scores 65 this week, he will make 78K. And then I'd imagine the break even will stay pretty similar next week because of the score he had last round against the Cowboys. So far from a must-have because he's in that all-important fullback position, but I think he's a good buy. Yeah.
Shout out to the Cowboys. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
God, that's made a difference to our season.
Yeah.
It's huge.
That was a big win.
Oh.
I flipped Reece Walsh to him and went against like the, you know, wanting two key gun fullbacks and went a cheapy fullback from a side who'd battled all year. And I was like, this doesn't feel right. But I was like, Dream Buller, he looks good. That was a season-defining decision with Walsh now obviously playing Origin, missed last week. So... Thank you, Dream.
I felt the same. Training him in, I felt sick.
Yeah.
It just didn't add up, no. But he's been tremendous. Shout out to him. Last question from Matt Jansen. We sort of already spoken about it. Ockhambor as a buy. What's your last say?
No.
This has got a bit of Buller to it. Doesn't feel right. But
yeah, but
could be.
Buller's it. How dare you to Dream Buller? Buller's a gun. Ockhambor, as I said, I need a greater sample size of Ockhambor in the back row to make an informed opinion of him. But I don't know. Like, as a bloke who, being you, who just got burnt by Terrell Sloan, Does it not have Sloan vibes about it? Like just a disaster?
Yeah, no, it does 100%. But like, I think Buller was very similar a couple of weeks ago. We were sitting here going, geez, is he really going to take Dane Laurie's spot for an extended period?
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's not like at Canterbury, they've got 1,000 back rowers to choose from. Like opportunity is
the
there.
The opportunity is there.
Like if he was competing with other guys, I'd be heaps less confident on it. But, I mean, they seem to love him.
The opportunity is there. Is the ability there?
But who's he competing with? You have to have someone better to replace him.
RFM, who seems to be really quickly falling down the pecking order.
Heaps far down the pecking order. Corey Waddell seems to be falling down the pecking order. He scored 2 tries in 2 weeks. He scored the match winner the other day. They've moved him into the back row. They're picking him over other back rowers that have played their entire career. I don't like it either. Don't get me wrong. But I think that Ockhambor looks better because of the situation that's going on there.
Yeah. And then I suppose TPJ is the only one to potentially come back into the pack this week. Are you thinking about buying him?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I genuinely am. I'm not confident on it. I feel disgusting doing it. I can't believe I'm having this conversation. But I think that if you take away the name Jaden Ockhambor and look at his situation, that he is a dual position to RF CTW. I know it's not fair to take away the name. I get that. And look at the guys that he's competing with for a position and look at his games over the last few weeks. I think he's in a good little spot. Is he going to play left or right edge? Play right, won't he?
Preston can play both, but Ockhambor's been on the right, I believe.
Yeah. If it was on the left, fuck, that'd be juicy.
Let's just call him Jay Ockhambor. No. Jaden O.
I don't have a problem with it. I don't love it, but I definitely don't hate it. I wouldn't say no to anyone that wants to do it.
I wish you well, sir.
Yes, I think that's fair. All right, El Capitano, skippers this week. It's going to be an interesting one. Obviously, Nath Cleary, always appealing, but we can't trust that he's going to play. Nico Hines, very appealing to me, especially if the Broncos boys don't back up. But I thought Brisbane defended reasonably well last week without those guys anyway. Who are you leaning towards?
I think we can pretty well assume that most people are going to have a free crack at the VC loop, at least a semi-free crack. So yes. I think the standout option is obviously Nathan Cleary, but playing the last game of the round, the other thing about Cleary is if all those players do back up, there's every chance the Panthers get out to a lead and he plays 55, 60 minutes. You would think.
Yep.
Cody Walker against the Titans.
Yep.
And I don't pick players on having one good matchup incoming. You know, you've got to look at the long term. But circling back to Keon Kalamatangi, Jaden Campbell has been named in the halves this week.
Yeah.
I hate it. He's too small to defend in the front line.
I'm so excited to see it in attack, but defense, it's a fucking nightmare.
Awesome in attack, of course. So if he slots in for Foran on the left edge, Keon will be going at him. So he could score 8. I love Jaden Campbell, but I love Jaden Campbell fullback.
Yeah.
So just that whole matchup, Titans without Foran, Fifita may not back up. Him and Tino, like minutes, what do they play? Bunny's coming off a loss. I do think I like the Cody Walker matchup. So I think I'll have Cody Walker as my VC. Again, hoping to have a free crack at it. And my C, I'm leaning towards just sitting it on Cleary for the moment with the backup plan of Joey Manu against the Dogs on Sunday.
Just looking at Cody Walker's numbers, over the last 3 games, he averages 80. He hasn't scored a try. And he's had a grand total of 26 points in evading.
Oh, boy.
They have all come from creative. The last three weeks, his creative starts. The last 4 weeks, 50, 44, 66, 57. I thought last week, for him to score 68 Supercoach points in that game was one of the great robberies of all fucking time.
He played so good.
How good did he play?
Yeah.
That game should have been 100. He played well enough to score a Supercoach 100 in that game, and he got 60.
There's also been games in the last month with Cody where I'm like, oh, I was more of the Latrell Shaw or whoever show, and I'm like, oh, he's still got 80 or 90. But
yeah.
And the other thing with that game is No Latrell Mitchell. Everything is Cody.
That's true. Yeah.
Like Cody loses a lot of tries just to the trail sweeping, tipping on, whatever it might be. So, oh.
As you said, we've all got, well, most of us, I know I sure as fuck do, I can have three attempts at the VC if I want. So what I'm thinking is I am going to VC Nicho Hynes on the Saturday night.
Yeah.
And then, as I said, I've got my eye on a little pod captain for Sunday.
Tungo.
Joseph Manu.
Yeah.
It's like a little punt against the Bulldogs, I think.
Yeah, well, I'll be doing as well, I think.
Yeah, okay.
Just because of...
I was hoping you wouldn't say that, but that's fine.
Yeah, just because of the Cleary...
Well, so are you going to go Nick... Do you have Nicho
still? Mate, I said Joey Marnie 2 minutes ago, but you weren't listening to
me. No, I wasn't listening to at all. Not even in the slightest. That hurts. I wish I got him first now.
A little pod captaincy option. Joey Marnie. Yes, I said that 2 minutes ago.
Oh, it hurts. You we'll follow, cut that out. It's all right.
You follow me, Shock. Do you own Cody Walker?
No, I don't.
Ooh. Fiddle-dee-dee.
You're not competing against me, you dickhead. I'm competing against you. You're not competing against me.
Cody's ownership, 60% of the top 100, 58% of the top 1,000, 50% of the top 10,000. So, yeah, tick over one in two people only. Bit. I mean, it was a big price last week, so that excites me this week. I think Cody's the man.
So you've got him, yeah? So yep. Are you going to VC him or?
I'm going to VC him and I assume I'll have essentially a free crack at it. Put it this way, if I do end up having 18 or 19 players this week in a miracle that everyone backs up, the person that I drop, or my AE should be a decent player anyway. So it's not like I'm getting a Pelé or...
So if you go Cody VC, yep. are you saying you'll go Mano captain over Nicho?
You taking the Mickey? I don't know, Nicho.
Oh, fuck. I've had a shocker in the last 3 minutes. All right, let's go home. Let's go home.
It's Origin Day.
It's Origin Day. Jesus Christ almighty. Send help. Send another coffee. Okay, let's leave that there. What trades are you thinking of making this week?
Oh, I've got a good one for you.
You going to trade out Nicho?
So, first trade, likely Jared Croker. Jared Croker will be going to probably Kiraz. And then my second trade, which was a big pod play last night on the Playbook podcast, Isaiah Papali'i.
Oof.
Oof. Let me talk to you. 560K, averaging just 56 this season, plays around 16 and 19, basing 47 this season, so down a little bit on previous years. He hadn't based under 40 all year until that game against the Tigers where he based 31 because there was 8,000 tries scored. He scored one try this season and has no try assists, so next to no attacking stats. Before people jump in, I'm not expecting him to have the same amount of attacking stats as he did at Parramatta.
He told me on the way in that he would.
Shut up. However, I think you've got a bloke with genuine attacking upside who has a big work rate, is, as far as I'm concerned, bottom dollar for him with great buy coverage. Yeah, he's at 1.1% ownership amongst the top 10% of Supercoach teams, I should say. So I am thinking a pod play in Isaiah Papali'i. It may be one for next week because his break-even's 90. Game against the Raiders, don't really need to rush it as such, but he's one that I'm eyeing. As I said, staying fluid with trades this week. If players do back up from Origin, I'll probably just use one trade and save another one. Mm-hmm. But I'm probably living in a bit of a fancy land there, so I'll look at doing a second trade and it might be Papali'i. Talk to me.
Honestly, I sound like you every other week. I've got no idea what I'm doing. And it's all
No. What's your knock on?
Oh, I hate it. I think it's fucking stupid.
Why?
I just get a bad vibe off it. He's my Ockhambor, I think.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
No, I understand where you come from. I just, I don't like the way that he's been utilised over there and everything. I just doesn't. In saying that, this is the first time you've said it to me. I haven't taken a huge deep dive into it, but my gut feel is no. Not a guy that I was even looking at or considering.
No one is. That's the point.
Yeah, no, 100%. And that's why I think at that the thing that stood out to me out of all of that was the 1.1%. Yeah. That's fucking huge and unreal.
I don't, barring injury, I don't see how it can go wrong. Because I think worst case, he averages, absolute worst case, averages 50 over that period, plays around 16, around 19. And I think any improvement in that is making cash and you've got a potential gun.
Is he dual?
He's not. That's a dagger. But if he was dual,
if he's dual, that changes as well.
But yeah, no, I don't really see how it goes wrong. Yeah, said barring injury.
Yep. No, fair shout. I don't know yet. Depends how it all plays out. I've got, as I said, I kind of want to keep KP, but I've also got Dylan Brown, so it'll just mean I don't have a 5'8 this week, which is okay. I'm not going to have 17 anyway.
You don't have a fullback, hooker, halfback, or 5'8.
I've got two fullbacks. No, I've got one fullback, Buller. Hookers, I'm in a bit of curry. Well, I've got Sonny Luke and Harry Grant. Just can't wait till Sonny Luke puts out 23 points that I've been waiting 15 weeks for this weekend. That'll be a treat.
You have been very patient with him waiting through for this week.
Mate, you should see my draft team. Cutting people left, right and centre.
Keep Sonny.
Everyone's looking at Sonny Luke going, is he going to do something soon or what? It's causing chaos within the squad. Favouritism. I've got Olakau'atu as well, who I'm done with. I can't do it anymore. I think I will definitely cut him. And then I will either cut Jared Croker or Val Holmes. One of those two. If Val, obviously, I want to get rid of Val. But if he plays this weekend, I'll obviously keep him. I'm sort of waiting.
A tricky one with the Raiders. Croak locking out Friday night and Val not till, what, Sunday, Saturday?
Yeah. I mean, I've got other guys I can sell.
He said, if Val gets through the game tonight unscathed and he gets Friday afternoon, there's no word that he's had any knocks, he plays. 100%.
Yeah. No, I probably will sell Jared Croker. Who to? I have no idea. I'm not quite sure who I'm going to move to there. I want a Sharky, so Sivatalakai I'm seriously looking at. I've got no idea. I want to watch Origin tonight, as I'm sure most of you do as well. Then I want to sit back and see what comes of that and who I go. But I've got no idea. If we're sitting here next Wednesday and I say to you, yeah, probably looks good in my team, so be it.
If we're sitting here next Wednesday and you have it, a crack at me about not knowing my trades yet. While Isaiah Papali'i sits in your team off the back of his ton.
Oh, yeah. How good. All right. Predictions for tonight. What do you got?
Blues, 24-20. Tom Trbojevic, first try scorer. Stephen Crichton, Smokey, first try. Not Smokey, but second first try scorer.
No Hudson in there?
There will be a Goodwill Hudson bet. Yep.
Goodwill Hudson. That's mad. I'm going to go Blues 20, Queensland 16. I'm going to take Tommy Turbo first and last.
Yeah. First and last. Yeah. If Tommy's fit, he's the man.
He's the man. Well,
he looked pretty damn good last week. So
looked unbelievable last
Tommy
week.
Tommy Turbo.
Although playing good opposition tonight compared to last week. So big test. The little dagger we're your done. Raiders. I want to go to Canberra next Friday. Let's do it.
Yeah, come down. Be
do
sick.
The damn thing.
Yeah.
That'll be fun. Or you go down Friday?
Yeah.
Okay.
Down Friday, Moose Friday night, GIO Saturday, Goulburn Saturday night.
I shan't be doing that, but it all sounds fun. All right, guys. Thanks for joining us. Good luck to your team if they wear blue tonight. If not, go fuck yourself. Blue Wealth Property, they've got all those events coming up over the next few weeks. The link to the podcast is in the bio, along with the link to sign up to Blue Wealth Property. Check out Donny Sports on Instagram. Go and get yourself some kit this week. Go grab a case of Bloke in a Bar tonight for Origin Footy. Go listen to Supercoach Playbook. Episode last night, what did you guys touch on?
We spoke about a few things, but we did a dive into the most traded out players this week. They're obviously heavy around the three bye teams being Eels, Knights, Manly. and we just basically didn't agree with any of the most traded out players. Thought there's some lunacy in there. Some of the ones going, I think Gutho was one of the most, second most traded out or something. There's a few that we just went nuts. So we have a really good chat around those sort of players.
Nice. And who'd you have on? Celebrity guest last night.
Celebrity guest, Ryan Selvidge from Supercoach 365 podcast. So great debut on the SC Playbook podcast, and adds Derusi. Tried and tested.
Ryan's obviously good mates with Matty the Waterboy. And our favourite thing is Matty the Waterboy calls him Razor.
Razor.
And every time he says it, it's fucking awesome. Sounds like he's about to fight the Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, they worked together at New South Wales Rugby League back in the day. So he opens up with a yarn about Matty being off his rocker on the beers and missing a flight. Shocked back me. From Origin a few years ago. So
no good. Yeah, so make sure you go follow, is it SC365 on social media or Supercoach 365?
Supercoach 365.
Yeah, make sure you go follow Supercoach 365. Ryan's been putting out some quality content for a long time over there. Big fan of Razor. All right, we will see you next week.
Go the Blues.
Up the Blues.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.